made possible by Spirit Baghetto.
That's the taint of the example shown by our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as been mentioned, love's important. But without being Spirit begotten, is it possible to attain this level of love? 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Bible in Basic English says, because you have had a new birth, not from the seed of man, but from the eternal seed, through the word of a living and unchanging God. Rotherham, having been regenerated, not out of a corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through means of the word of a living and abiding God. Peter talks about this word here in 23. First we hear it's born again. That's a new birth. It's regenerated. But the word is anagenēo. And Peter, it's used properly. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So we see that it is being begotten of the Spirit. So we ask a question, then why do we need to have the Spirit? Why must we have this Holy Spirit? Well, we want the Lord in our lives. We want to draw nigh unto God, that he might draw nigh unto us. We're told in James 4:8. But how can we possibly do that? We're told in Romans 8:5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So we need to have God's Spirit. We need to have this, as it were, new birth, the Spirit begotten of the Father, of his Spirit, so that we can know what his will is. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Ye know not. He says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You know, in opposition to God, we certainly don't want to be in that. The world's plans of ambitions to build hopes on earth, not heavenly attainment. Sinful practices in accord with the world's policies. The love of fellowship of the world implies that you also have the same feeling towards the earth. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So we know that the Lord is looking for those, as been mentioned, who want to serve him, who want to be with him, who want to follow and be, show a love for this creation of his. He does not send his Spirit into the world of unbelief. You know, when Abraham sent Eliezer to find a bride for Isaac, he made him promise not to go to the Canaanites. The Canaanites were idol worshippers. Eliezer had to make a 550-mile journey to those that were the household of faith. They believed in God. And so the Lord would not send his Spirit out into the world. He's seeking those that are seeking him, that have a desire to turn from sin. Now, Peter's addressing those of a totally different group than the world. And we're told in verse 2, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of blood of Jesus, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. It's those who have accepted the blood of Christ. But further, Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And Jesus tells the crowd in John 6:53 and 54, he says, verily I say to you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth of my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that they believe in his name. These are those, brethren, who the Lord is calling, who he has desired to give his spirit. And without his spirit, as we've seen, it would be impossible to know the mind of God, to know what is that acceptable level of love, to develop that love that even to your enemies. The love that Stephen, as they hurled the stones at him, he said, Lord, lay this not to their charge. Could see that the love was so powerful, that the delusion of Satan was so powerful, and he knew God's plan, and he knew and he trusted and believed in that reward. And this is what that Holy Spirit gives those that seek after the Heavenly Father, who desire to be with our Lord. But there has to be a decision. And Paul tells us in Romans 12:1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. These who are born or begotten, anagenēo, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And any time we know properly to use that word begotten, it has anything to do with the Heavenly Father in the process. We want that Holy Spirit, because in Psalm 50:5, we're told, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. So making that consecration shows the faith in the blood of Jesus, giving up one's will to follow Christ's example. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, which was also, not my will, but thine be done. I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And John 10:29, my Father is greater than all. If a man strives for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. That one hope of our calling, that well done, good and faithful servant, to be crowned with glory and honor and immortality, we have to be in covenant relationship with the Heavenly Father. Israel was in a covenant relationship, but as servants, with Christ's sacrifice, open this new and living way, for it has to have a new relationship, a relationship of sonship. Having the Holy Spirit from our Heavenly Father assures us that we will have his guidance and his direction in our life. Excuse me, Brian. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, Nicodemus came to our Lord. He believed that he was a man of God, but he did not see him as the Messiah. And he asked our Lord questions. And the Lord talked to him about being begotten of the Spirit. And he said, well, how is it possible that a man be born again and brought back in the womb? And he told him that unless one is born of the Spirit, he cannot discern these things. He says, I could tell you about all, I've been in heaven. I can tell you all of these things, but yet you will never understand them. he tells Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again or begotten. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it comes and whither it goes. So is everyone that is begotten or born of the Spirit." So our Lord gave an interesting example here. He said that he's comparing a natural birth. He's talking about a natural birth, and he's talking, and if we look at a natural birth and we look at the Spirit birth, in a natural birth, someone says to us, might come and say, I'm with child. Now we may not see, you can't tell, but you can see the joy on their face, and so you say, well, congratulations. But you know, soon you'll be able to tell. And then soon the fruits of that pregnancy will show because it'll be a birth. During this period, there's a gestation period. The fetus grows, becomes developed so that it can sustain life outside. When we look at a spirit being, as our Lord is talking about having this spirit begotten nature in one, the purpose is for it to be developed to grow as well. As we are told, "Grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever." And when you look at, when you see this development of the new mind, that's how it happens. Being transformed in your mind. And continue that Romans 12:2, by the renewing of your mind. So the transformation is taking place inside. And it's being developed. And that's that spirit growing. The Lord's going to give the help and the encouragement so that as we experience things in our lives, he can test that new creature's development and growth. Without the Lord's Spirit, without this being growing, and what's been talking about, he won't give his Spirit to the world. So we have to develop this new creature so that the worldliness goes away, so that when it is ready for the birth, it can sustain life in a totally different nature, a totally different plane of existence. So it uses the body and the flesh, but that flesh, once it dies, Stephen said to our Heavenly Father, "I commit my spirit." The only spirit that he had was that spirit nature. The beginning is the beginning of the new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, new things have become new." The creature's life depends on the development. And part of this development, Peter talks about it in 1 Peter 4:12. "Behold, think it not, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you shall be glad also with exceeding joy." One of the things that we're taught is, as we mentioned about the natural birth, you can't tell at first when someone tells you that they're with child. So likewise, with the spiritual birth or the begetting, we rejoice with those who come into relationship with the Heavenly Father, but in time, there's expected, as we said, to grow in grace, there should be some fruitage. Matthew 7:17, "So every good tree fine fruit produces, whereas the worthless tree, evil fruit produces. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, graciousness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. And against such things, there is no law." And they who are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its covetings. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk. And the Lord assures us that with his Spirit we're going to receive help. And how does the Lord do this? We look at Isaiah 30:21. "In thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. You know, the child of God has learned where to seek counsel. The counsel, the wisdom, is always ready to come to his aid. The prophet describes it as a word, a voice behind thee. It's not a voice before thee of some new theory of evolution or spiritism or Christian science or other human philosophies, but it's the old theology with all its blessed doctrines of hope through Christ, our Redeemer and Lord, our example and our leader. It is the voice of the Lord uttered through his inspired apostles and prophets from 2,000 to 4,000 years ago, as Brother Russell wrote in his day. It is to this word of divine inspiration then that the prophet would direct the attention of all those desiring wise counsel. And in that word, we hear the voice of God saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And the Spirit beareth with our witness that we are the children of God. What are these things? A full, unreserved consecration, chastisement and discipline, willing submission to God's will, separateness from the world and being hated and persecuted for letting our light shine, the witness of taking pleasure in acknowledging Jesus as the Redeemer and Master faithfully. Now, one of the things we want to bring out here is, what is the Spirit? We have the Spirit, and we're seeing growth, we're seeing development, that there is a desire, a burning desire. As Jeremiah said, I couldn't forbear, the words were in my bones and I had to speak them. So, how do we know if we have the Spirit? We hear the word of the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And what are we supposed to do with that? There should be a desire to demonstrate the faith. By telling the good news, to serve the brethren, to do good unto all men as we have opportunity. To meet with our brethren. Because we know as we have these opportunities to show the faithfulness to our covenant and wanting to do the Heavenly Father's will, that as Paul tells us, we need to get to this point of this love because it's going to be tested. And that's the other reason we'd be in the flesh. Because the Lord can't give glory and honor and immortality and then test one. Must do it beforehand. And what are the testings? Well, we have a manna from Brother Russell. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose, Psalm 25:12. It's not for us to supervise the trials and difficulties which may beset us. It's for us to make an unreserved consecration of ourselves to the Lord and then leave to him the decision of how great shall be our trials and besetments, how great our sacrifices in following his leadings. The Lord may see that some need special trials more than others, and those things which to some would be a great trial and apply great sacrifice to others, as the apostle expresses it, have his own light afflictions, which are but for a moment, and which are working out a far more exceeding and eternal weight and glory. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Isaiah 53:1. You know, it was mentioned this morning by your brother Peter, he read this, and it's so good. The call of the church in the present time is to let our light so shine and thus attract persecution, and to endure the persecution for righteousness' sake, and to be rightly exercised by it in patience and brotherly kindness, pity and love toward the persecutor and to all men. All then who see the prize and who see the light of God's glory shining in the face of Jesus Christ our Lord, be faithful to the Father's conditions, the calling and his service. Let all such give attention to the ministry which we have received and faint not. Be not discouraged, whether men hear or whether they forbear, whether they think it ill of us or whether they speak ill of us. Let us remember that our report at the end of the trial is to be rendered to the Lord himself, when he is making up his jewels. Brethren, my Heavenly Father has the matter in hand. He's trying to see and testing us to see, will you do it? Are you ashamed of me? You know, as we look at developing this love, you know, one with another and being tested, 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God and hates his brother, then he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? You know, brethren, the brethren, one of the signs of the Spirit is to want to talk about the truth, want to be with those of like precious faith. And when, you know, as we talked about today in some of our meetings here, the diamonds rubbing together, and they need that Holy Spirit to look past some of those small fleshly problems of our brethren and look to the Lord and be patient and let Him do His testing. Because 1 John 3:14 tells us, we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. It's one of the surest signs by which the Lord's people may know positively they have been begotten of the Spirit. A very essential test. The best sign is that you love all other children of God, no matter what their color or sex, position in life, rich or poor, bond or free. You must love all those whom the Lord loves. That's question book 450. From death unto life, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, from a condition of condemnation and death to a condition of justification to life. By faith we are reckoned dead with Christ, counted members of His body, that future life is reckoned to us. Reckoned free from sin and its condemnation, only those who have made a consecration have the merit of Christ imputed to them and are accepted by the Father. The more the Lord's jewels come together, the more there is a friction that we've talked about. That Holy Spirit will lull and deaden that friction. The most beautiful experience of the Christian, wherever he finds he has full love and sympathy for all the brethren, especially strong scriptural proof that he is a new creature and he has passed from death unto life. The measure of the Lord, of love for the Lord will be indicated by our love for the brethren, fellow members of his body. The willingness to be broken for the good of others as our Lord sets the example for us, dying as a ransom for all. Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to making your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. I press to the mark, to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Perfect love, where our Lord always stood, attained by us by making a consecration and passing through these four stages. The duty love to God, our love of Jesus, our love of man, love for God because His glorious character, and love for the brethren, which overlooks their imperfections. Perfect love toward God, our brethren, all men, which includes even our enemies. Avoiding self-satisfaction, singleness of purpose, forgetting the things behind. Good habits of thought and energetic zeal. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prisons, that ye may be tried, and ye have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. The crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. James 1:12. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. 1 Peter 5:4. To be accepted in Christ, obedience is a prime requisite. Then consecration to sacrifice. Before we were in Christ, we were enemies. Romans 5:10. Because the whole world lieth in the wicked one. Ye are children, you were children of wrath. all are sinners. But we become partakers of the divine nature. The new creature expects to attain to the divine nature, the glory, honor, and materiality, while the old creature desires earthly things and comforts. Thus, there's a conflict. It's a fight to the finish. We are taught, brethren, to walk in newness of life, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, not as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, but circumspectly, and not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, and not by sight, but by faith. By faith and consecration, we have come into a new life, a spiritual life, as sons of God. And yet, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and the new life is only in its embryo condition. Hence, the necessity of walking after the Spirit. This is what it is to walk in the newness of life, after the Spirit and not after the flesh. The Spirit is at war with the flesh. It's impossible to maintain the life of both. Therefore, it's written, if ye, the Spirit-begotten ones, live after the flesh, ye shall die. But ye, through the Spirit, do mortify and put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Romans 8:13. Those who have the burning desire to tell the truth, to tell it to those who know the story and to those who don't know, but need a message of encouragement and comfort. If you sow to the flesh, you reap the flesh. It means no spiritual reward. Sow to the Spirit, and you will reap spiritually kingdom blessings with Christ in glory. Brethren, so blessed we are to be here in convention, to be with our brethren, to show that word of encouragement. Give them encouragement to physically see one another. The internet is wonderful. It's so helpful. Having experienced isolation, we know how wonderful it is, but how great it is to be with those of like precious faith in this place. Look around, meet your brethren, take the time, however many days you are here, to get to know one another, to know that God is working in each one who's made this consecration of their life. And knowing that it is such a wonderful, glorious opportunity, and the experiences that we have and the sufferings and persecutions will be but light afflictions as we contemplate the glory to be granted to all those that he calls sons. We are able to call him Abba Father. That is the true Father. You know, the servants cannot do that, but we as sons can. What a beautiful blessing we have. Brethren, we pray that the comments will be blessing to you all, and that if we said anything amiss, that the Lord will overrule. Lord bless.